So if you've been in the church for any length of time, you may have heard a sermon about time, talents, and tithes. If you haven't been in church for very long, you may not have heard about a sermon about time, talents, and tithes. And today is not that sermon. But when we speak about time, talents, and tithes, we speak about how do we use our time for God, how do we use our talents for God, and how do we use our tithes or our money for God. And we, tablet just said goodbye. That could be a short service. And when you lump those three thoughts together, we're actually talking about a concept called stewardship. And stewardship is being responsible for what we have and using it wisely. Now, unfortunately, time, talents, and tithes is too small. When we look at the New Testament, it falls short of what we are actually called to give and to do in the church. It kind of sells the whole concept short. One of the problems is that we start to think, I give God some of my time, I give God some of my talents, and I give God some of my money. All the rest is mine. All mine. But in the New Testament, we're not called to give a portion. This is the sermon you were not hoping to hear. We are called to surrender all, to surrender everything. Just a heads up, we're going to take an offering again at the end of the service, and that'll be the benchmark of how well you've listened. Fair? I'm just kidding. I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes, okay? If anybody's shouting amen at the right times, we'll send the offering bags around. But I want to read in Luke 14. There's a really awesome, this relates to what I'm talking about this morning. Luke 14, 25 to 35. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the costs to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears, let them hear." I hope you picked up on the important line. There were a number of important lines, but the one that I want to focus in on this morning. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Basically, what this means is those who do not give up everything they have for Jesus cannot be his disciples. So you've heard the song that we sang this morning, Jesus First, Truth Always. We started the year by really pressing into truth. What is truth? Then we had our month of prayer. We stepped back from that and we focused on prayer. And we do that every year. Then we got back from the holidays and we had Easter. We had our holidays. And now we're back. And there were two things that Sessions said this year should be about. The leadership team said we really want to press into truth, but we also want to press into discipleship. And so for the next term, this term, we're going to be pressing into discipleship. And as we start, I set you up last week with what's your excuse. Do you remember that? People went home really sad because it was the big stick sermon of the term. But what is your excuse was what I asked last week. Now this week, I want to say that stewardship leads into the topic of discipleship. Remember, those who do not give up everything cannot be my disciples. That word everything is quite a strong word. Christian stewardship is not about giving God a portion of our life or our, oh dear, my tablet's really messing with me this morning. No, listen, I'm going to preach from the heart because I've just lost it. Those of you who don't give, oh, okay, right. So we cannot talk about stewardship alone. Stewardship encompasses our whole entire lives. This is, I'm just going to show you what this is doing. This decided it would restart now and do an update. And I thought when I got this, I thought, I'm so fancy and hip and trendy. Paper doesn't do that. Yeah. So, yeah, here we go. Shortest sermon in history. But it's okay, I've got my slides to help me. Thank you. So in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9, Paul speaks about this whole topic of stewardship. And when he speaks about giving, he uses four different words to describe what giving actually looks like. And he says giving is voluntary, joyful, sacrificial, and proportionate. So when you think giving is just, what do I give? Paul says, no, there's a whole lot more that is involved in what we bring. And so the first thing there, voluntary, in 2 Corinthians 8, you'll notice this line, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. Well done. Look at you, clever child. I'm not commanding you. As he speaks about the fact that we should give, he says, I'm not commanding you. And he also says, each one should give what they have decided in their hearts. You see, what we give is not, when we read the Old Testament, it's almost about you must, you have to. But now in the New Testament, he's saying we should decide. It's up to us. Bearing in mind the foundation of this morning, if you don't give up everything, you're not a disciple of Christ. So we have that as our foundation. Now Paul is saying, hey, give what you've decided to give in your heart. So it's almost as though giving is not about a command as much as it's about an attitude of our hearts. So that's the first thing then. The second thing he talks about is joyful. In the midst of a very severe trial, the overflowing joy and the extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. When you're going through severe trials, are you thinking extreme generosity, welling up? No, joy doesn't always well up in us. But Paul's saying, even though the church in Corinth was going through this, this is how they responded. And then he also says, God loves a cheerful giver. And the big question we have to ask ourselves is, as that offering bag goes around, or as you log onto the internet, does your giving create in you a sense of joy? It should. You should come away going, I've given and I'm happy about that. I'm joyful that I've been able to give. He also says that giving is about sacrificial. They gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. The Old Testament says 10%. The New Testament says sacrificial, beyond their ability. Sometimes we think, I'm not going to give this month because money's tight. Or I can't serve because I don't have enough time. They gave beyond their ability. They didn't say, what can I give? The question really was, what should I hold back? I'm wondering whether instead of a 10%, because remember, if you're not, you're my disciples, if you surrender everything, give everything, maybe it's not 10%, but it's 100% of everything, our time, our talents, our tithes. Okay, and the last one was proportionate. The gifts is acceptable according to what one has. So there's almost a percentage built into that statement, but again, it's about what has God given you and what are you giving back to God? Right, where are we going now? How much? How much must I give is a good question to ask if you're under the law, but the better question to ask is one of these maybe. How much can I keep? How much of my life belongs to Jesus? So the three things were time, talents, and tithes. Am I right? A better framework. All of my life, all for God. It's a much better way to look at how we live life. We need to, if nothing else, I'd love you to go away going, okay, everything belongs to God. You don't have to give it all. Although stewardship board would be super impressed if that did change slightly. You don't have to volunteer for every single thing in this church. Really, you don't. But if you just go away going, I have a fresh understanding of everything belongs to God. We have a very unhealthy relationship with stuff. I buy it, I own it, it's mine. No. I buy it, I have it in my possession, it's God's. I can give it away, it's God's. But we really do, in our modern age, we have a very unhealthy obsession almost with stuff. Okay, so our time. If you want to say, what are my priorities in life? What do I worship? What is the most important thing? Where can I look? My calendar. And the whole calendar should reflect God in some way, because our time is God's. We say, you only have this much time. No, no. God has given you this time. It's His time. How does that reflect? So when you look at your calendar, what does that say about your time? How are you using your time for, oh, we're moving so fast. I do have to preach quickly now. Oh, back to time. I finished that. You can go on to the next one. Our gifts. So you remember the old one was time, talents, tithes. Talent doesn't actually appear in the Bible. And when you say it, people often think, oh, I sing well. Oh, I'm a good artist. But the Bible doesn't talk about that. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts, and they're different. Well, they might be the same, but I don't like the word talents. Okay, gifts. God gives us spiritual gifts that give us special abilities to serve Him. So everybody sitting here has got a special ability, something that they are really, really good at. And that is a gift from God. It sits in here. When you serve according to your gift, your spiritual gift, you can serve for a lifetime. When you respond out of guilt, you know, when Shoba stands up and he says, we've got these children, we parade them here. They are 5 to 7. If nobody teaches them, these poor children might go to hell. Then we go, oh, I better teach. And it might not be your spiritual gift, but you respond because there's a need. And it's okay to do that. But no, you might not serve for a lifetime in that ministry. But if you have a real passion for young people and to see them flourish and find Christ and grow and be strong Christians, then that's where you need to serve. And you will serve a lifetime in a place like that. It's very seldom that we find people who are serving according to their spiritual gifts, which God has given them, that they kind of go, I'm tired of this. Because God gives it to you and He says, this is what I've given you so that you can be way more effective in your ministry. And then the last thing is our resources. So we talk about tithes, but that's very limiting. What are our resources? The things that God's given us, material, the things that are lying in a cupboard. Hey, maybe there's a jersey there. It's starting to get towards winter now. Maybe that's what we've got to do is say, well, what have I got in my cupboard? Resources that I'm not going to use this winter. Because we have got people who could use that, without a doubt. So it's our time, it's our money, it's our resources, it's everything that we have. How are we using that to bring God glory? We have to ask that question. Okay. Oh, right, yes. And then joy. Joy is such an important thing when we serve God in all areas. We know that God loves a joyful giver, but we have to say in all areas of our lives, what does it look like? If I'm going to be on the care team and make meals, and I love to make meals for other people, maybe you shouldn't make meals for other people. Because you've got to make meals with joy, okay? If you serve with these little people, it's with joy. If you're in the worship team and that's a slog, then you've got to say, maybe that's not where God wants me right now. But we have to be people of joy. Does joy motivate your stewardship? Does joy erupt from generosity? When I serve, when I'm here, when I'm doing what God wants me to do, is that something that drives me in the direction of joy? We should. And then we have to serve out of joy. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I've mentioned already, but our heart is the main motivator. So we've got time, we've got our talents or our gifts, we've got our tithes or our resources, but the main thing is the heart behind every single one of those. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And we have to say, if this is God's treasure, then my heart must be about God. And if our hearts are not about God, then all these other things are not really that important. So we need to start there. Is my heart a heart that is following after God? So I'm going to pray in a moment, and maybe that's the first thing we need to say. Let's check our hearts before God. Is my heart right with God? Am I serving for the right reasons? And those are questions we have to ask ourselves. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you give us everything. Thank you, Lord, that you own everything, that we are just people who steward what you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that you bless us abundantly. Help us, Lord, as we talk about what we do, where we serve, what we have, how we use what we've got. Help us first to examine our own hearts, Lord. Help us to have a heart after God. Help us to know that our hearts, if they're fully committed to you, then that's where our treasure is, with you, Lord. And if that's not where our hearts is, take a moment to see if you can realign your heart with Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, that you do give us everything, that you give us the time that we have. Help us to make our time that we use, that we serve you, that it would be good time, Lord. That it would be productive time for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the spiritual gifts that we have, that you have given us stuff that we can use to serve you. Help us to serve you better, we pray, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for resources. Thank you, Lord, that you bless us all and that we can give according to what you've given us. Help us, Lord, to find our place, to find our means, and to give and to serve. Bless us now, we pray in your mighty name. Amen.